Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He was a missionary to monsters. He was called up by the higher authorities because he knew German. And so his task was to go and to minister and to share the word with 21 Nazi leaders as they awaited trial for their war crimes. Pastor Henry Gehrke faithfully went. He was a minister to monsters. And he went fully knowing, with his eyes wide open, what these men had done. In World War II, he served as an army chaplain, and he had been to Dachau, and he had seen the damage and the destruction and the evil acts that they had done. He was a missionary, a minister to monsters. He preached God's word with them. A number of them he went up as they were going to the gallows and prayed with them before. It's an incredible story that you can look up and see as this guy faithfully goes and proclaims to God's word, whom to people who, in the world's eyes, probably don't deserve a lot, if anything at all. Now, my question for you is, would you be like him, faithfully going to those men? I want you to think about that, and I picked this pastor and this situation because I think it's easy for us to really wrestle with having to go to such evil people that everyone across the board says, these are evil people. And I want you to think about that because I want you to get in the mindset of Jonah. He was a missionary to monsters. Jonah was an Israelite. He lived in the northern part of Israel, and he was sent not to the Nazis, but to the Assyrians. And the Assyrians, like the Nazis, were a bloodthirsty people that mass murdered millions of people, thousands of people. They were arrogant, they were violent, and they were proud of it. Let alone this was the people, like I said, Jonah's from the north. Assyria would come in through the north. So who was always attacking Jonah and his people? The Assyrians. He was a minister to monsters, and he was sent to go. Maybe it helps you understand a little bit about Jonah's attitude. And we're going to read it in just a second. Jonah is a very famous Bible story. A lot of us could tell the basic parts of it. We know Jonah and the whale. We get that part. But then it culminates here in chapter 4 to the point that God is making to Jonah and to us. Listen to these words of Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" This is the word of the Lord. He was a minister, a missionary to monsters. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah knew God's word. He knew who God was, that the Lord, the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. And yet God had called him to probably the people that he had prayed about their destruction rather than their salvation. He was a missionary to monsters. And to Jonah, it just didn't seem fair. We're going to recount the story of Jonah. It's a short book, and just to get us into the story and to really understand what God is teaching us here and teaching Jonah. So Jonah was called to be a prophet. God, the word of the Lord came to him, and he was called to go to Nineveh, the capital of these violent people of the Assyrians. But Jonah, when he got word of what his job was to do, and when God tapped him on the shoulder to go, he went the other direction. He boarded a ship to go to Tarshish, which is the complete opposite direction of Nineveh. In other words, he's saying, God, this isn't fair. I don't want to go preach to them. Then as he's on the ship, it's sailing, God sends a storm. And it's a pretty violent storm. It's a pretty dangerous storm. The sailors are trying to figure out what to do, how to save the ship. So they're throwing cargo off. They're trying to make the ship lighter so it survives. And then they realize this is happening because someone offended one of their gods. So they start talking amongst themselves. Which one of you offended a god? Which one of you angered what your god had said or gone against what your god had said? And none of the sailors can figure out who did it, who offended their god. And their eyes are all innocent. And then they go find Jonah beneath the deck. They wake him up and they ask him, who are you? Where are you from? Who's your god? What have you done? What are you supposed to be doing? They interrogate him as they're trying to figure out what to do, and it comes out that Jonah says, yeah, that's me. My God told me to go to Nineveh, and I went the opposite direction. My God told me to go preach to these people, and I don't want to do it. So they ask him, what do you do? What should we do? Throw me overboard. Now, it's interesting when you read this in Jonah that the sailors treat Jonah nicer and kind more hospitably than Jonah wanted to do for the Ninevites. They don't want to throw him overboard because they know what that means. That means they are killing someone. You're tossing him into the middle of a sea, into the middle of a storm. It will not end well for Jonah. And yet Jonah says, toss me overboard. They pray to the Lord, may God have mercy on us for what we're about to do. And they throw Jonah overboard, and Jonah begins to sink. God, in his grace, sends a whale and swallows Jonah up, rescues Jonah from the deep. Jonah spends 3 days in the belly of that whale, 3 days in the stinky darkness, considering what God had called him to do and God's graciousness, how God had rescued him. And Jonah knew too, as he in chapter 2 tells us the prayer he prayed, that with the Lord there is salvation and there is no other place to find it. So if you don't have the God of Israel, you are in big trouble. After those 3 days, the whale spits Jonah up onto the dry land. And what do you do after you spend 3 days in the belly of a fish or a whale because you knew that you had gone against God's command and now you've been considering it? Well, you go and you do what God says. But he did so half-heartedly. Jonah went to Nineveh. He preached that message that God had told him to preach. 40 days, repent, otherwise Nineveh will be destroyed. And he went and he preached. And you can imagine, as Jonah's preaching in the streets, it took him 3 days to get through the streets, how the word spread. It even got to the king, and the king calls a whole citywide fast. Perhaps God will relent. Perhaps God will not destroy us. Perhaps we will be saved. After Jonah finishes his preaching, he goes out to the side of the city, east of the city, like we heard today, and that's where our story picks up. He's waiting to see what will happen. Will God destroy the city, or will it be spared? And Jonah is angry. This is not fair, Jonah says. Think about what's happening. Why is Jonah angry right now? Jonah's angry because the people that were harassing God's people were being shown mercy. Jonah's angry because his sense of justice, his sense of fairness, is not in line with what God is doing, and God seems to be violating it, and it's just not fair that God's people will suffer and save the and God will relent from destroying the Assyrians to save the very nation that will soon come and punish Israel for their idolatry. It is just not fair. And Jonah tells God that. Right before our section, Jonah has a conversation with God where he says, I knew this is what you were going to do, Lord. I knew who you are. I know who you are. You are the slow to anger God. You are the one who's gracious and compassionate. You are the one who is abounding in love and mercy. And I knew that you would forgive the Assyrians, these monstrous people. And so that is why I fled. And that is why I'm angry. So God had to teach Jonah about his grace. And God had to teach you and me too. He does so with an object lesson. So Jonah's sitting there east of the city, and we can relate to his situation on a hot, hot day. Think dead dog days of August where it's just oppressive in the heat. The sun is beating down on him. The the breeze isn't cool, but it's hot, scorching hot, so it just increases the heat. We all understand that here. So Jonah's sitting there, and then God sends a plant, and it grows up, and there's shade, and he's happy, he's relieved from the heat, and it's a nice plant that gives him nice shade and comfort. The next night, it dies. And Jonah is angry. This is not fair, God. This is not right. How can this be? And God asks him, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah says, it is right, and I'm so angry I could die. And God uses that plant. You didn't make it grow. You'd intend it. You didn't do anything for it, and yet you're concerned about it. What about the people that I made? God is basically saying. What about the animals that I created? What about these people in this city that don't know right from wrong, that don't know who the gracious and compassionate God is? Should I not be concerned about them? That last verse we read, that question that God poses to Jonah, that rhetorical question, that's the last verse of this book. There is no response. Jonah doesn't answer. The silence speaks volumes as both Jonah and we realize that the answer clearly is, yes, Lord, you should be concerned, and it's right for you to be concerned. Jonah learned about God's grace, even though in his eyes it didn't seem fair. So do we. I love this book of Jonah. It's very short, so go home, read it all today. It's a quick read. I love this book of Jonah, not because of the amazing things that happen, like Jonah being rescued by the whale. That's just incredible to think about. And how the whole city listens to him by God's grace and they repent. Again, incredible. I love this book because it's so easily seen in our lives. We can see ourselves in this story. We can see ourselves in Jonah. Because we get angry. We like to tell God, it's just not fair what I see going on. Maybe it's like Jonah, where we see the wicked people prospering and then God's people suffering. And we say, what is going on, Lord? This is not fair. And we're angry. Maybe it's because God is calling us, like Jonah, to go outside of our comfort zone and to talk to someone who we do not get along with at all. Maybe they've hurt us, a very painful hurt in our lives. Maybe they completely are on the opposite side of things. We do not see eye to eye, and God says, go to them. Tell them about my love. Tell them about my grace. And we're out of our comfort zone like Jonah, and we go, it's just not fair. Or maybe it's because we have our own sense of justice, our own sense of fairness that we want to see happen in this world. And when God doesn't do it for us, we get angry. And like Jonah, and we want it our way. And so we shake our fist at God and say, it's just not fair. What is going on? But I also love this book of Jonah because it completely shows us the amazing grace that God has for us, and God shows us day after day. This book of Jonah is just dripping with the grace of God. Every part of it shows that our God is a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. Think about when God called Jonah. Who was he sending him to? The monstrous people of the Assyrians, people who worship false gods, who laughed in the face of God, and yet God still was concerned about them to share that message of who he is, their savior, their deliverer with them. And then when Jonah ran away, God could have squashed him. God could have let Jonah drown in that sea, but he didn't. In grace, he sent the whale and rescued him. In grace, he spit the Jonah out onto the dry land, and then in grace, he still allowed him to go and preach, and the people listened. And then when Jonah was telling God, I'm so angry, it's better for me to die than to be alive, God in his grace didn't listen to him. God didn't do what Jonah wanted, but rather taught him about God's amazing grace and taught him that, no, it is not fair, and that's a good thing. Same way for us, when we get so angry and caught up about our sense of fairness, our sense of what's right or what we're called to do is just not fair for us, it's too hard, we don't want to do it, we see God's grace too. He doesn't squash us. Rather, he comes to us in his word and in his sacraments, and he shows us his amazing grace that, no, it's not fair. That's all right. It's a good thing because it's grace. We look for a better Jonah. We look for Jesus. That's what we're told about in God's word. That's who we see as the gracious and compassionate Lord. God sent Jonah, or Jesus, into this world, and when Jesus was sent, he didn't run away to the opposite side. No, but rather for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus didn't just spend 3 days in the belly of a whale. No, he suffered and died and spent 3 days in the belly of the earth, and then he burst forth victoriously to defeat those great enemies, sin and death and the devil that so desperately want to destroy you. No, it's not fair. It's God's grace. And now God comes to us day after day through his word and through his sacraments, and he gives us that very forgiveness. To those people who say to God day after day, it's not fair, Lord, what you're doing. And yet he still gives us his love. No, it's not fair. It's grace. So when we're struggling, maybe we know that there is someone who's hurt us, and we've been talking about it the past few weeks, we need to forgive them because God has called us to do that, and it's very hard. And we say, but God, this isn't fair. They hurt me very much. Come to the story of Jonah and see what God says. Shouldn't I be concerned about them too? Just like I was concerned about you? It helps us mellow out as we see God's grace in our life. Maybe it's someone who we don't see eye to eye with, and we are angry whenever we have discussions, and it's an angry fight. Instead of getting so caught up in that disagreement, we can see that God is concerned about them just like us, just as he was concerned for this people of Assyria, and we can share them that grace of God. Maybe we won't ever be called to go to people that the world sees as monsters, like the Nazis, like that pastor did, but we still have that saving message that Jesus died for them and Jesus died for me, and we can take comfort in that as we speak with. And even when we don't get our way, it's okay. It's not fair, but it's grace. Grace that we see in our Savior. And it's God's unending grace for you and for me each and every day. Amen.